ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरसङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् We are going to discuss the 20th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. Shankara has been discussing about meditation of various forms of Devi and how that would be helpful to a sadhaka, how that will help a sadhaka in achieving his goals, whether they are worldly goals or Mukti, so Bhukti Mukti Pradhayini. So that's one of the popular line in many bhajan songs. So Bhukti Mukti Pradhayini. Bhukti, Bhukti means enjoyment, bogham, sensual pleasures, worldly pleasures, and Mukti, Mukti is the ultimate goal or anandam, liberation, whatever we can term it. So any god has these two fruit, or the fruit that, or the boon that a god, a particular form, can give to his devotees or believers, followers, etc., are two. So he can either give bhukti or mukti. And in most of the time, or most of the times, normal people, they are unaware of mukti. They don't know what mukti is. They consider worldly pleasures or bhogam as giving anandam or sukham. Thereby, people seek devatas with respect to worldly pleasures. So, chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritino arjuna. Arto jijnyasurattharti jnanischa bharatarshabha. So Krishna, while speaking about the different types of devotees based on what they seek, he categorizes them as four. So chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritino arjuna. Chaturvidaha janaha mam bhajante. Four types of people worship me, O Arjuna. And how are they able to worship me? Sukritino Arjuna, Sukritinaha, because they have done good deeds. They have accumulated punya, therefore they are able to worship me. So this is a testimony of the Lord in saying that the difference between an atheist, a difference between a person who ignores God and who worships God, whether it is for worldly matters or other matters, so a normal person who ignores God is lower than a devotee. So a devotee, whether he is a devotee who has aparabhakti or parabhakti, whether he is a gauna bhakta, gauna bhakti is one of the bhakti that Narada speaks about in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. So whether a person is seeking the Lord for worldly matters or moksha, the fact that he is seeking the Lord, that makes him greater than normal people. So he is a bhakta. And as Krishna himself says, in the 12th chapter, Krishna himself speaks about how a saguna bhakta, a bhakta who worships the Lord, he crosses over the ocean with the help of the Lord. Etu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena. We don't need to go into that, but it means that if a person seeks the Lord, whether it is with respect to worldly matters or moksha, a person who seeks the Lord will get solution, whether he gets the solution in one birth or two birth, or like in Kalpa Antaram, at the end of this Kalpa or end of Yuga, all that depends on what he is seeking. So he is greater because Sukritinaha, he has done good deeds. Because of that good deeds, he is able to seek the Lord. He knows that the Lord has something which he doesn't have, therefore he seeks. And the four types are Artha. Artha Jignyasuhu Artharti Jnani. So Artha means people who seek the Lord as a solution to their problems. So people in the world, we find that most of the people in the world have some or the other trouble, whether it is physical trouble or mental trouble, financial, all sorts of troubles are there. So in order to find a solution to their trouble, people seek the Lord. So those people are called Artha. Artha, they want solution to their trouble, to their problems in life. And the second is, so though the Lord is not ordering properly, the second one has to be Artharti. Artha Arti. Artham. Artham means worldly pleasures or money, or people who seek pleasure in the world. So one is people who seek solution to their problems, and the second is people who seek wealth. Both of these people are seeking worldly matters. One person needs solution to their worldly trouble. They don't need moksha, they need solution to their worldly trouble. Worldly trouble we can get a solution to the worldly trouble only by a worldly solution. We cannot get a solution to the lion that we see in dream from the waking world. We have to get the solution from the dream world itself. We need to get a dream gun and shoot the lion. We cannot wake up, get a waking gun and then shoot the lion. We cannot do that. So moksha cannot give us solution to worldly troubles. We'll come to that later. But these two people seek worldly pleasures. One person seeks solution to his worldly troubles, worldly solution to worldly troubles, and the second person seeks worldly pleasures. And the third is jijnyasuhu. Jijnyasuhu means a person who has jijnyasa. Jnyatum ijna jijnyasa. Jnyatum iccha jijnyasa. Sorry, jnyatum iccha. A person who desires knowledge. He is called jijnyasu. Jnyatum iccha jijnyasa. Desire to know is called jijnyasa. Jijnyasa yasya sah jijnyasu. Who has jijnyasa, who wants to know, who has the desire to know, he is called a jijnyasu. So he wants knowledge. He wants all sorts of knowledge. That means that knowledge, knowing which everything becomes known. So that knowledge which can give us knowledge about everything. So shaunako havai angirasam vidivat upasanna prapachya kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati iti. Shaunaka, in the Mundaka Upanishad, Shaunaka, the grihastha of Shaunaka, goes and seeks Angiras. Vidivat upasanna paprachya. Vidivat upasanna. Vidivat, in the proper way. So jnanam or knowledge, if knowledge has to be achieved in the traditional way, a person has to seek the Guru. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. For seeking knowledge, we need to pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. We have to do seva to the Guru. We have to surrender to his feet and then question him. So vidivad upasanna paprachya. He offers his obeisance to the Guru of Angiras, sage Angiras, and he questions. What is his question? Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati iti. He questions, O Lord, tell me that by knowing which everything becomes known. So that is the knowledge. That knowledge, when a person gains the desire to know, that knowledge by which everything, knowing which everything becomes known, he is called a jijnyasu. So just because a person has the desire to learn mathematics, just because a person has desire to know web technologies, that doesn't make him a jijnyasu. Jijnyasu is a person who seeks the ultimate knowledge, that knowledge by knowing which everything becomes known. If we seek mathematical knowledge, then we are artharthi. We are seeking some worldly pleasure in the form of worldly knowledge. So jijnyasu are people who are seekers who seek the ultimate knowledge, that knowledge of that Brahman, knowing which everything becomes known. And then the fourth type is jnani. A jnani also worships the Ishvara. The difference between the worship of a jnani and other people is that jnani knows that only Lord exists here, only Ishvara exists here, and therefore he is worshipping the Lord alone. He knows everything is the Lord and he worships the Lord with the knowledge that everything is the Lord. Whereas other people, they seek knowledge and thereby worship the Lord. They don't know that the Lord alone is present here. They want to know it, therefore know it in the right way by removal of doubt, etc. Therefore they seek the Lord. And like these, the people of like all these four bhaktas are greater than people who are not bhaktas because they seek the Lord. And regarding a person who seeks solution to his worldly problem, the first type of bhakta of artha. So such a bhakta is not seeking ultimate solution to his problem, because jnanam or moksha will not give us solution to our worldly troubles. Swami Vivekananda, he went to Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He gained knowledge, he saw Devi in the Kali temple, yet his family had financial issues. So just because if we learn the history of Mahatma, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had to face troubles, Ramana Maharshi has had to face troubles, Amma is facing troubles, she used to face troubles, she is facing trouble. So just because a person gains the ultimate knowledge of Brahman, that doesn't mean that he will not have worldly troubles. The difference is that a person who has ultimate knowledge, he knows that the world is an illusion. Since he knows that the world is an illusion, he will not be affected by the worldly troubles. Yeah, so any Mahatma will also have worldly trouble because jnanam or the ultimate knowledge cannot give us solution to worldly troubles, but we'll be unaffected. A jnani will not be affected by the activities of the world. So he will be a mere sakshi. Even as a person acting in a drama or acting in a film is unaffected by the things that happen, activities that happen to the particular role. Similarly, a jnani will not be affected. So that's the difference between seeking solution to worldly trouble and artha and a jnani. So artha will be seeking worldly solution. So he will be getting solution to his worldly troubles with the grace of the Lord. But worldly troubles will go on and on and on. That is samsaram, anityam, asukam, lokam. So the lokam is full of anitya vastus and it is asukam. It can give only sorrow to a person. So a person, we cannot get complete solution to worldly troubles unless we gain knowledge. And with knowledge, worldly troubles may or may not vanish, but will not be affected by it. That's the main aim of jnanam. So these are the four types of bhaktas. Yeah, so these are the four types of bhaktas that are there in the world. But the greatest of these bhaktas is a jnani. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate. Priyo hi jnanino atyattam aham sacha mama priyaha. So of these, the jnani is the greatest person because he has eka bhakti. He is focused in me. And he is dear to me, I am dear to him. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Bahunam janmanam ante. At the end of many births, A jnani is born, and such a jnani worships me after taking many births. And Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he worships as everything is Vasudeva. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, he is very rare indeed. So, through these various shlokas where Shankara speaks about worshipping Devi and gaining siddhis, the real aim, the ultimate goal is to become a jnani. So through proper worship, when we do proper worship, worship in the right way, by seeking knowledge, and through knowledge that Devi alone is present here, we worship such a Devi. We remember that Devi alone is present here and offer everything to the Devi, then we will become a jnani. And jnanis are Sreshtam, because after many births a person becomes a jnani. And a jnani will be unaffected. He will be ever blissful, which is what we all want. So these ways of dhyanam that Shankara speaks in these shlokas, where Shankara speaks about different types of meditation, so how meditation can be done, and what is a, who is a real bhakta of Devi, who worships Devi in particular forms, remembering that Devi alone is present here, such a bhakta can be termed a jijnyasu. He is seeking knowledge. He is seeking knowledge, paroksha as well as aparoksha jnanam. So he might have got a paroksha jnanam, thereby he is worshipping a form of Devi to gain concentration and get experience of the reality that Devi alone is present here, aparoksha anubhavam. So that is the purpose of Shankara explaining different types of meditation here. And as explained, a jnani is very sreshtam. A jnani is really great indeed. So that's what Krishna himself, the shloka we discussed from Gita, Krishna says the same thing. And mere presence of a jnani, being in the vicinity of a jnani can change a lot in our life. So our life itself can be changed if we are in the presence of a jnani. So because the jnani is beyond all rules, and the jnani can guide any power in the world, because we have already discussed that all the powers of the world, the various devatas, are waiting for the request of the jnani. They are as if like they are waiting outside the jnani's house in queue, waiting for his word, like the servants Dwarapalakas in a kingdom. They are waiting for the king's clapping his hand or calling out. They are waiting for that moment for the king to call out. There it is because of fear and gain of money. But with respect to jnani, the devatas know that if they do any help for the jnani, then they will be benefited by it. So they are always waiting outside the jnani's house, waiting for his request. They are waiting to see whether the jnani will call or not. Therefore, like when we are in the presence of the jnani, knowingly or unknowingly, the jnani's grace will fall on us, and thereby the various devatas will help us in everything. So even worldly troubles as well as mukti will be possible by the jnani's presence. So bhukti mukti pradayini. So the four types of bhaktas cater to either bhukti, asking bhukti or mukti. But for a jnani is a person who is ever immersed in Ishvara. So if we go to a jnani also, we will get bhukti and mukti. But the greatness comes when we become a jijnyasu. We shift our level from artha artharthi to a jijnyasu, thereby striving to become a jnani. And that alone can give us anandam. So Amma also says that if we go to Ishvara and ask him worldly pleasures, if we are artha or artharthi, then it is like going to a king and asking for a bronze coin. Or it would be like going to Bill Gates and asking for $1. So it's like, or if it's in India, then Lakshmi Mittal or any of the Ambani brothers, going to them and asking for 1 rupee. It is as good as that. Ishvara is capable of giving us, bestowing us mukti or parama anandam. And if we don't seek it, then we are doing a mistake. It's like insulting Ishvara if we go to him and ask for bhakti. He won't consider it as an insult because for him everything is a boktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Boktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam jnatvamam shantim ruchyati. So many systems, many philosophies opine that people who don't worship Ishvara, people who don't worship Vishnu, people who don't worship Shiva, people who don't worship Ishvara, they will go to hell. Ishvara will punish them. But Gita is a testimony against their statements. So in the 5th chapter at the end, Krishna says, Boktaram yajna tapasam, yajna tapasam boktaram. I am the bokta, I am the enjoyer self in all the beings which enjoys yajna tapas, which enjoys all activities, whether it is worldly or spiritual. And sarvaloka maheshwaram, I am the controller of the entire world. Maha Ishwaram, maha, greatest controller of the world. Not only that, I am controller of the world. Suhridam sarvabhutanam, sarvabhutanam suhridam, I am the suhrit, I am the friend of all beings in the world. Whatever they ask me, I give them. Eyatha mam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyaham. Whoever worships me in whatever form, I appear to them in that form. So suhridam sarvabhutanam, I am the friend of all the beings in the world. And a person who knows me in this way, jnatva mam, mam jnatva shantim ruchyati, he attains shanti, he attains peace. When a person knows such an Ishvara, Ishvara who is the controller of the entire world, who is the jiva in each one of us, who is the atman in each one of us, and who is the friend of all beings, such an Ishvara can only be Nirguna Parabrahman, who alone exists, who is a substratum of the world, and he attains peace. So in the even in the 9th shloka, Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha. Samoham sarvabhuteshu aham samaha sarvabhuteshu. I consider all beings as samaha, samabhavana. I consider everybody as same. Name dveshyo asti na priyaha. I don't have priyaha or dvesham. I don't have raga dvesham. So if somebody says that, oh, if you don't worship Ishvara, you'll go to hell, then you can outright reject such a statement, because Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu. I consider every being as the same. And then what is the difference between a bhakta and a person who is not a bhakta? If everybody is same to you, then what is the difference? The difference is with respect to the person, not Ishvara. So, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya. He who worships me through proper bhakti, mayite te shuchapyaham. He is in me and I am in him. So I don't consider anybody as my friend or foe. I don't have any raga dvesham with anybody. But whoever worships me in the right form, such a person is immersed in me. Therefore, he will get anandam. But a person who doesn't worship me, he will get dukkham. It's like telling that sun is always there. It depends on how we see the sun. We may see the sun as giving us light, and we may also see the sun as shedding too much light that we can't walk on the way because it is too sunny a day, we'll sweat. So it's only the sun is the same for all beings, but it is our perspective which matters. So if we are a bhakta, we'll be benefited by it. If we are not a bhakta, we'll not be benefited by it. So Ishvara gives whatever a person seeks. So we have to move from being an artha and artharthi to a jijnyasu. Therefore, we can become a jnani. And in the shloka, Shankara also says what is the advantage of being in a jnani's presence, and thereby what is the advantage of being a jnani as well. So the worship here is of that Devi who is of the form We have often spoken about the stone Chandrakanta, the stone named Chandrakanta, which gains its life or its power from the rays of the moon. So such a Chandrakantam, so Devi who is of the form of Chandrakanta stone. So Devi's form, we can consider an idol who has the form of Chandrakanta stone. Sorry. Sorry. So Devi, whose idol, who is of the form of the idol of Chandrakanta stone. Such a Devi is Bhajanam, a person who does what he will be benefited, how he will be benefited by it, and what is the purpose of us worshipping it. So this shloka, the 20th shloka, is also a testimony of the fact or the truth that if we worship such a Devi with Chandrakanta Shila, of the form of Chandrakanta Shila, or we are in the presence of a person who worships the Chandrakanta stone, all diseases will vanish. We'll come to that. So this shloka is in the raga called Vasanta. It's not that a common raga, but it is. Yeah, I guess it is. I'm not sure about the Melakartha of that. You can find that online. So it's the raga called Vasanta. The shloka goes like this. किरन्तीमङ्केभ्यः किरणनिकुरुम्बामृतरसं हृदि त्वामादत्ते हिमकरशिलामूर्तिमिवय ससर्पाणां दर्पं शमयति शकुन्तादिपैव ज्वरप्लुष्टान् दृष्ट्या सुकयति सुधाधार शिरया. Haven't sung the brigas proper, so you can listen to my father singing and find it out. So, as I said, like this shloka speaks about that murti, which is made up of the Chandrakanta stone. So, Himakara Shila Murtim Iva. So, like Devi, whose form is like Himakara Shila Murtim, Himakara Chandrakanta Shila, that stone, that idol, that stone which is made up of Chandrakanta stone, like that, such a Devi whose form we can say is made up of Chandrakanta stone, and even as the Chandrakanta stone is nourished by the rays of the moon, therefore it also has the power of sending out rays of moon. Therefore, Angebhyah, from all angam, all parts of such a form, such a Devi, all parts of such a Devi, Kirana Nikurumba Amritarasam, Kiranti, Kirana Nikurumba Amritarasam, Amritarasam, essence or Amritarasam, the fluid of Amritam, in the form of Kiranam, so Kirana Samuham. So Kiranam, rays comes out of each of the part of Devi who is of the form of Chandrakanta stone, and from Devi's rays come out, and those rays are Amritarasam. They are able to give Amritam to the person upon which it falls. So Kirantim, it falls, it comes. So from each of the angam, parts of Devi, such a Devi, Amritarasam in the form of various rays comes out or falls. And such a Devi, Tvam, Yaha, Hridim Adatte, Hridi Adatte. So Tvam, such a you, Yaha, he, that devotee, Hridi Adatte. Hridi, in the heart. Adatte, he worships. So he does dhyanam. Such a devi who does dhyanam. Such a devi whom a person, a devotee worships in the heart. Such a person, sarpanam darpam shamayati. He destroys the darpam. Darpam means ahankaram. So he destroys the ahankaram or pride of sarpa, of snakes, like Shakunta Adipa Iva, like Shakunta Adipa. Shakunta means birds, Adipa means king. King of birds. King of birds is what whom we know as Garuda. So such a person who worships Devi in the heart, such a Devi in the heart, such a person, he destroys the pride of snakes like Garuda. So like Garuda destroys the pride of snakes, such a person has the strength. So what is the snake here? Such a person who worships such a Devi, he is like Garuda for destroying Sarpam. So he is Garuda, then what is Sarpam? What is that he destroys? He destroys all the trouble, all the problems or sorrows in life. So Jvara Plishtan. So Jvaraha, all the problems in the life. So the last shloka is, sorry, the last line is different, yet it means that the Sarpam, Sarpam can indicate the troubles in life, the problems of life. It can also, Sarpam can also mean the Kama Krodha Lobha Moha Madha Matsati. They are also called Sarpam. They are called crocodiles, but Sarpam, we can consider them as Sarpam as well. So the Sarpam of all those are destroyed completely. That means such a person will get rid of Raga Dvesham. Since he gets rid of Raga Dvesham, therefore he will be in way to realize his own self. So he is on the way to become a Jnani. So such a person, such a devotee who worships Devi, from each of whose parts the Amrita Rasam flows, that devotee will get rid of all the Sarpam, get rid of all the obstacles in the spiritual path, thereby realize his own nature of Devi. He will realize that Devi alone is present here. He will become a Jnani. And as said, as we discussed earlier, a Jnani, a person who is a Jnani, just being in his vicinity, in his presence, will remove all troubles in life. Therefore, drishtya, drishtya, when a person sees such a Jnani, so when another person sees this devotee who is a Jnani, because he becomes a Jnani, so such a person, jvara plishtan, from jvaraha, from various troubles like jvaram. Jvaram means fever. So fever, a person who has fever, who is suffering from fever, such a person, when he sees this Jnani, sudhadhara siraya, because of sudhadharam, that Amrita Rasam coming out of such a devotee. This Amrita Rasam has its source in Devi, because this devotee worships Devi, from whose angam Amrita Rasam comes. So he captures the Amrita Rasam, and thereby he himself becomes a source of Amrita Rasam. So because of Amrita Rasam flowing from this devotee to the person who is suffering from fever, the person who is suffering from fever, sukayati, he will get rid of fever. So jvaram can also mean fever or any other trouble as well. So all troubles, all worldly problems will be solved when a person sees such a Jnani, a person who is worshipping Devi in that form. So it can take it at the vyavaharika level, we can take it that a person who worships such a Devi, he is on the way to realization. Therefore, he may be a Jijnyasu, not a Jnani. But even if he is a Jijnyasu, his presence, being in his presence, we will be able to get Amrita Rasam. And that is only if he is doing Adatte, if he is worshipping in the right way. we have to be aware or beware of false devotees, people who claim to be devotees, who claim that they go to Ramakrishna ashram, they know music, they know Vedanta, their family is spiritual. Such people, we have to be wary of such people who claim to be spiritual, who claim to be devotees, yet aren't devotees. Because only from a real devotee is a we can say he is a connection, he is a link between us and Ishvara. So he can be considered as a pipe from which the Amrita Rasam of Devi comes out. So only a real devotee will be able to pass over Amrita Rasam. A false devotee will not be able to pass Amritam. He will claim to pass Amritam, but we will only be getting more and more dukkham from such a person. So just being in such a false devotee's presence, we will be able to find that we become more sorrow. We gain more sorrow and we will enter into more troubles. So only a real devotee, if we are at the world vyavaharika level, if we are in the presence of a real devotee, if a real devotee sees us, all our worldly troubles will go. And if we are in the presence of a jnani, if such a devotee has become a jnani, he is not a jijnasu, he is not a devotee anymore, he is Ishvara himself, he is jnani, then being in the vicinity of such a person, all jvaram, so not vyavaharika level, all troubles will vanish at the paramarthika level, because we will be made to realize Brahman. Oh, will we be made to realize? Will Ishvara be so stern? Can he be so rude, or can he use such techniques towards his bhaktas? Yes, he can. So there is a beautiful symbolic way of representing Vishnu's form. So Vishnu's form, we know that Vishnu has four hands. In one of his hand, he has a lotus, or he just has his hand, and then the another hand has a conch, the conch shell which can be blown, and then in another hand he has a mace, like the gada that Bhima is famous for, and then he has a Sudarshana Chakra. So there's a symbolic way of representation or explaining this is that Vishnu is always telling us to notice the lotus in his hand. Lotus denotes the self. So Vishnu is telling us, realize the self. So let's say we are not able to appreciate it or apprehend it, or we are ignoring it. Either way, he will then blow his conch. So when he blows his conch, he is trying to gain our attention back, or bring our attention back to the lotus or the self. And even after blowing the conch, we are not doing, then he'll give a blow with the mace. So he'll just give a one blow. Even after getting repeated blows, if we are not able to apprehend it, then the final alternative that he has is using the Sudarshan Chakra to destroy the ego. So Krishna is famous for killing many people with his Sudarshan Chakra. So either of these ways. So that's the reason why many people in the world, though they get more and more sorrows, and they know that worldly pleasures cannot give them relief, yet they fall a prey to the same thing. So people know that, okay, marriage, people who have discussed a lot about marriage and that marriage cannot help a person, they enter into marriage. People who know that gaining a house in the world cannot help them, they still go after house. So that's the part of life. It is part and parcel of the life, but yet those are times when Ishvara will give us blow. So Ishvara can be cruel. We cannot say that, oh, Ishvara cannot be cruel. He can be cruel if it is necessary for the devotee, even as a guru can be cruel to the disciple if it is essential. So it's for the welfare of the devotee or the disciple. So we cannot say that Ishvara is so good, Ishvara cannot be cruel, etc. He can be cruel. But the basic point of this shloka is that if we are in the presence of a jnani, then we'll get bhukti mukti. We'll get bhukti, we'll get bhogam, as well as we'll get moksham. But if we don't choose moksham, then we will get troubles. So the more and more we get bhukti, the more and more we'll have dukkham. And along with dukkham, if we are devotees of Ishvara, then he will make sure that we somehow come to moksha. So I know people in my family itself who have been devotees of Amma, yet they will be asking worldly pleasures. So being the compassionate guru, being Ishvara, is always Karunamayan. So he is full of Karuna, he is full of compassion. Therefore he will grant their desires. But along with the desires, they will get dukkham as well. So Ishvara doesn't need to give dukkham, he just needs to grant worldly desires. The worldly desires have dukkham as part of them. Even if they don't have dukkham as part of it, Ishvara will ensure that you get dukkham. So people used to get worldly pleasures from Amma, but along with worldly pleasures, they were like, there was a family like who started asking for car, house, their children's good academics, etc. Amma granted all that, but she also ensured that the husband was working in a far off place from the wife. The children were studying in yet another place, so the entire family was split up. They got all worldly pleasures, they got whatever they sought, yet they were all staying different, in different places. Which means, for them there is no sukham or there is no anandam. So the more and more we get bhukti, we seek bhukti and get bhukti, we will have dukkham as well, part of it. And Ishvara will ensure that we finally go for moksha. If we don't go for moksha, we are the loser, because Ishvara is capable of giving moksha. So as the earlier analogy of going to a king and asking a very small thing, if we go to Bill Gates, we should ensure that we ask for at least a good sum which doesn't insult him. Therefore if we go to Ishvara, then we should ensure that we ask only for moksha. So we have to be jijnyasus. And once we become jijnyasus, and then we go to become a jnani, we become a jnani, then the mere presence of the jnani will get rid of all troubles. So if the jnani's presence can get rid of troubles for others, then it can very well solve his own troubles. Though he may have troubles at the worldly level, yet he will be ever blissful. Nandati, nandati, nandati. So that is the fruit, that's the ultimate fruit of this type of worship that Shankara says in the shloka, Himakara Shila Murti Bhajanam. Such a bhajanam that will give us, that will make us jnani and thereby give us ananda. We'll continue in the next day. Hari Om.